The parsha of this week,
Parshat Bo,
is for sure one of the
most involved
and rich sidras in the entire Torah. And I am hoping that we will have an opportunity to investigate the very diverse thematic material which comes out of the text. The first problem that I want to draw your attention to is at the beginning of the parsha, where we are told that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon come into the presence of Paro and warn him yet again that a plague is about to descend on Mitzrayim if they do not let the Bnei Yisrael go. This is, of course, as we know, the plague of Arveh, which is the first of the last three which are mentioned in Parshas Bo. So Moshe Rabbeinu has come to Paro on a variety of occasions and warned him. The warning has been ignored, and the plague has come upon Pharaoh and his people. What is most interesting is in Pasuk Yud Aleph, at the beginning of the Parsha, not only does Paro refuse their request, but the Pasuk concludes, Vayegoreshosam meyeth penei Paro, that Paro actually drives them out. He kicks them out. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, Manishtana, why is it that on this particular occasion that Paro would see fit to act in this manner? And I draw your attention to a sefer which came recently into my library, a sefer known as Meshivas Nofesh. Actually, it's been authored by Rav Yochanan Luria, whose father was the first rabbi to have that surname in recorded Jewish history. So we're going back now approximately 500 years. And Rabbi Yochanan Luria has a series of essays on various aspects of the Torah. And interestingly enough, for me, Hashem, we'll have an opportunity also, which I've never come across. And that is, he has a series of confrontations with Apikorsim. Quite a major part of that work is devoted to this topic. But let us see what he has to say on Vayegoresh Osam Meyesh Penei Paro. Yesh Litmoa, it is worthwhile wondering, Lomo Lo Giresh Osam Adhena Bahasra Oso Hakadumos, why did Paro not drive them out when they came in on previous occasions to warn him? V'nirali Pshat Gomor, I would like to suggest that there is a simple interpretation. Umizeh lomdu ha'umos od hayom. And what I am going to explain to you is something which is still adhered to nowadays. And that is, shekol ha'shaliach ha'sholuach lohem meyezeh melech usar. If an emissary comes into the presence of a king, and he comes from another king or another ruler, and the message that he carries is a message of hatred or of embarrassment to this king into whose presence he is summoned, that messenger is never harmed, and they do not give him any problem whatsoever. There's no kill the bearer of this message. He comes in, he delivers what is his duty to do, he delivers his message, even though it is a message which the king or ruler is not too happy to receive, but protocol demands that the individual messenger is not harmed. The Adarabba, on the contrary, he says, Machilim umashkimoso, he is given food, he is given drink, Vizehu tachsise milchoma v'tikun ha'olam. And that is how matters are conducted vis-a-vis cessation of war, even the opening of war. It's all done through messengers, and the messengers themselves are protected by protocol. Al-Kain, therefore, lo zilzel bo paro b'shlichus malko shel olam she'osor shlichuso. That is why Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon, who present themselves as emissaries from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are treated with exactly the same courtesy. They come in, Pharaoh is not happy with the messages, he's certainly not happy with the plagues, but protocol demands that the messengers themselves remain unharmed. So again, if that is the protocol, so what went wrong this time? Says the Meshivas Nafish, Pharaoh is under the impression that the message that Moshe Rabbeinu brings at this moment is not a message from the king of the world, as Moshe Rabbeinu has been saying up to now, but Pharaoh is convinced that Moshe Rabbeinu is bringing in sentiments which are of his own making, and which do not have anything to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is purported to have sent him. Why? Because because when Moshe Rabbeinu came originally, he said, we want to go out for a period of 3 days, and we want to sacrifice to our God. And all of a sudden here, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I insist, not only that you let the adults go, but you've got to let the children go. The Pharaoh knows that children are not involved in sacrifices, so he is under the impression that Moshe Rabbeinu has added on more than is his right to do, and therefore he no longer presents himself as a messenger from a king or from the king, but is presenting his comments in his own personal capacity, and for him as a person, Pharaoh doesn't have to have any respect. So therefore, the Ein Derech HaTaflis Boach, Kamoshe Pinesh Rashi. And indeed we know that children don't in any way participate in sacrifice. V'choshav, therefore, Pharaoh was under the impression, Shemei Atzmo Mehosifu, that they've added on these comments in their own. V'lo Midivrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheheim Shiluchav, and not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them to say these things. U'me'oz Sheomru Yose Midas HaMushlach. And once they begin, in the mind of Pharaoh, to say more than they have been asked to say by whoever it was that sent them, Yotzu mitoras shelichus, they are no longer therefore to be classified as emissaries, Ureuyim lezilzul, and they are deserving of embarrassment, the God of Bohem, and Pharaoh therefore shouted at them and drove them out. And the Targum, to my mind, is also alluding to this fact that the Pharaoh is under the impression now that Moshe and Aharon have ceased giving over a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but are in actual fact just saying something in their own right, and therefore they are no longer entitled to be protected by the protocol which has ensured that they don't come to harm when they go into the presence of a king. Is what the Meshivas Nofesh points out a further diuk. When he says, V'teida, and you should know, Sha'alzeh, in keeping with how I have presented this particular idea, namely, that as long as they are emissaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, they are protected. But when they go out on in their own right and begin to express their own particular sentiments, then they are no longer entitled to the protection of Pharaoh. Bearing that in mind, we will understand why, after this plague, Pharaoh says to Moshe and Aharon, Chotosi Lashem Velochem. You don't see that before. I have sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I have sinned against you. What does he want to say with the word Lochem, which he has never mentioned up to now? The answer is, Lochem Shechoshadeti Eschem, because I suspected you, Vedanti Eschem Leroho, and I judged you unfairly, Shesovar Hoyisi, because I was under the impression that on this occasion, Shemidas Atzmechem Hoyu Mosifim, that when you said, Bine Ureinu Vizekeneinu, that this was something which you are making up, because it was different from what you had insisted on up to now, and therefore I was convinced that you yourselves are betraying your own mission by adding in sentiments which you had not been asked to do. So now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought the plague on my people because I didn't listen to your warning, it becomes quite obvious that I have not only sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu by not heeding his warning, but I have sinned against you by suspecting you of betraying your mission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the Meshivas Nofesh, and this is a very profound theme, and he even concludes the Hamevin Yovin Ki Tovu. And if you look into it, you'll agree that it is a most excellent interpretation of this particular phenomenon. Now, what I want to do now is to have a look at an aspect of Makas Becholos which we may not have appreciated before. We are convinced that all the Becholos died in Makas Becholos. Only one who was spared was Pharaoh, because, to use the coined phrase, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had other plans for him. Let us, however, look into Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Ches. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Ches. Where Moshe Rabbeinu warns Paro regarding Makas Becholos and says, and we've passed through this phrase year after year after year. What does the phrase say? As a result of Makas Becholos, V'yoredu kol avodecha eile elai v'hishtachavu lilei mor seyato v'cholom ha'shem eiraglecha. Every single one of your servants is going to come down to me and bow down and say, Li. V'yoredu kol avodecha. Now, let us consult the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. V'yoredu kol avodecha. Kan hivtiach, here Moshe Rabbeinu promises, ki avodov elu yichyu velo yomus echod mehem v'makas becholos. The words used are, kol avodecha. Every single one of your servants is going to come down to me as a result of makas becholos. Seemingly, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, not even one is going to die. V'ulai, I mention the following as a suggested answer. V'ulai shahayu kulam peshutim v'ein b'chor b'neihem v'yodah v'yediyas novi. Could very well be that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he made this statement, through Nevuah, was aware of the fact that there wasn't one b'chor amongst all Paro's servants. But I don't need to explain to you the Or HaChaim HaKadosh wouldn't be too impressed with that answer, because statistically, it's very much against him. So therefore, we have to come up with a second answer. Assuming that there are amongst Avodecha, there are Becholos, why didn't they die? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, O Hagam Shehayu Beineihem Becholos, it could very well be that there are Becholos firstborn amongst these Avodim, Afal Pichein Hotzi'om Michlal Hamako, and nevertheless, they are going to be protected. They are not going to die in Makas Becholos. Why? V'hatam, the reason is, lo letzad sidkusom. Not because they are righteous. Ela letzad shebizohu paro horosh bifneihem, v'diber elav kidaber hanovol, al tosef ra'os ponai kibiyom, etc. Lozeb sorich gamhu lehispazos bifneihem, kedin hamavayesh chavere bifnei rabim, shetzorich lefayeso bifneihem. Paro insulted Moshe Rabbeinu. Al Tosef Rose Panai, I'm going to see you again. Get out. The din is, when you insult a person, Barabim, you have to apologize, Barabim. That's the way it goes. Therefore, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the Becholos amongst the Avodecha have to remain alive. Because the din is Midah Keneged Midah. In front of every single one of those Avodim, Moshe Rabbeinu was insulted. As a result of this, in front of every single one of these Avodim, Pharaoh himself is going to be humiliated in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu when he will have to bow down to him and say, please leave my country. We are almost finished. So therefore, v'timso, and you should know, shehikpid Moshe al hadover, that Moshe Rabbeinu was most angry at having been insulted. It's not like you should say, well, a man like Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean to say, no. Dikasiv, because it says at the end of the pasuk, Vayetzei me'im paro b'choriyah. Moshe Rabbeinu went out from Paro in anger. So now, v'hinei hagam shelo amar Moshe ela v'yardu kol avodecha. A further thought that has to be added to my explanation, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, but even though the pasuk says, "V'yoredu kol avodecha," that all your servants will come down. But as we know, "Niskaven lomar gam olav," it was Moshe Rabbeinu's understanding even though he didn't say so loud and clear that not only would the servants come down, but Pharaoh himself would come down. The reason why he only said, and didn't say, and you and all your servants will come down, because at the end of the day, you have to have derech eretz for malchus. But let there be no doubt in your mind, says the Yerachayim HaKadosh, that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu said v'yordu kol avodecha is because he knew full well that if Paro insults Moshe Rabbeinu in front of a rabbim, he has to come and be humiliated and humbled in front of the same rabbim, the Kachoyo, and so it was. We now move into the main body of Parshas Bo, and that is, of course, Perek Yud Beis. And I just want to direct your attention to a most fascinating phenomenon. Let me draw your attention to Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Uvayom Harishon Mikro Kodesh, Uvayom Hashvi Mikro Kodesh, Yihye Elohem, Kol Melacha Lo Yosef Ohem. There is a problem, and that is that melacha is a feminine noun, and therefore, grammatically, we should have translated, or more correctly, the pasuk should have read, kol melacha lo sei oseh for him, not lo ye oseh. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, a most fascinating yesod. There are occasions, and they are usually in the majority, when the word call is an adjective. All. And that is how people would translate it here. All manner of work. In which case, work is the noun, and call is the adjective. All work. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, there are occasions when the word call is not used as an adjective, but used as a noun. Ain kol babayis. Therefore, here, kol is a noun, not an adjective. Kol melacha, therefore, is not correctly translated in this pasuk as all work, because if that was so, work would be the noun and kol would be the adjective. But kol melacha means the entirety of work may not be done. And therefore, since kol is a noun, which is masculine, therefore, ye oseh is found and not te oseh. What is most fascinating is, and I draw your attention, to Parshas Kisisa, Perek Lamed Aleph, Posuk Tes Vov. Lamed Aleph Tes Vov, a dovor nifla. Says the pasuk, or to be grammatical, the pasuk says, Sheshes yomim ye'aseh melacha. Again, melacha is feminine, and ye'aseh is masculine. Says the Ibn Ezra, Uvo milas ye'aseh im melacha, and the word, the verbal form, yeyoseh, comes together with melacha, which is feminine. I suggest as an explanation, ulai yechzar milas kol. Maybe the word kol has to be understood. And if you take kol in the pasuk, yeyoseh, kol melacha, then your problem is solved. Which obviously indicates, says Rabbi Yaakov, that call is understood by the Ibn Ezra as well, on occasion, to be a noun and not to be an adjective. We will have an occasion of Yirtzeh Hashem when we come around to Sefer Bereishis again, to note that you have two forms of phraseology describing the years that people live. You have Vayihiyu Kol Yemei, and you have Vayihi Kol Yemei. Two forms. Vayihiyu, when it's in the plural, is because their call is to be taken as an adjective. And Yemei is plural. When it is Vayihi Kol, It is because the word kol is to be understood as a noun, the entirety of the days, and kol is a singular noun, and therefore it has to be vayehi. So as I say, there's a number of grammatical items which will enhance our understanding of the of Loshon HaKodesh. Now I come to a, for want of a better expression, a pièce de résistance. Ushamartem es hamat. Right? Pasuk Yud Zayin. Something most magnificent. What's Ushamartem es hamat? So says Rashi, Shalo yavou lidei chimut. Make sure that the dough doesn't become chomet. Mikan amru, from here the rabbis tell us in the Gemara, tofach, that if the dough begins to rise and there is a danger that it's going to become leavened, tiltosh betzonon, which actually translated means you've got to polish it with cold water. What you do is, you put your hands in the cold water and you clap the dough and that makes sure that it stays down. Okay, that's it. Is Rav Yashia Omer? Rav Yashia says, Al tihi korei et hamatzos. Do not read it, Ushamartem es hamatzos. Elo es hamitzvos. Read it rather, mitzvos commandments. And therefore comes to tell you, Kederech shein machmitzin es hamatzos, kach ein machmitzin es hamitzvos. In the same way, you don't let the matzah become leaven, so you don't let mitzvos become leaven. Elo im bo liyodecho asei oso miyad. But if it comes to your, you have an opportunity to do it immediately. Going on here. Rashi tells us at the beginning of Bereishis, Va'anilo bossi elo lepshuta shel mikra. I have only come to explain to you the simple explanation of the text. All of a sudden we get a sermon. That's what it is. Kederach shein mach mitzvus or matzvus kalmus. Mitzvus matzvus. What's going on? Here we have a most fabulous insight from the Maharal, the Guraya. Now follow carefully because this is, we are being initiated into a different world. So that's what Rav Yoshia says. Kederach shein machmitzin, it's a matzah, kach shein machmitzin, it's a mitzvah. Kelomar, says the Maharal, that is to tell us, devadai pashtei dikro oso shelo yachmitz es hamatzah. Let there be no doubt in your mind that the simple understanding of the text is you should not allow the dough to become leaven. The whole matzah kesiv, because nobody can deny that the way it is written and the way it is read is matzah. But umidahotzi belishne ushamartem es hamatzos. But nevertheless, the fact that the Torah chose to tell us to prevent dough becoming chometz by using the phrase ushamartem es hamatzos v'havelei lemichtav, rather than writing tishmeru mechometz, guard from chometz. Why did the Torah choose to write it as ushamartem es hamatzos? Elo, obviously, Rav Yashia says, even though I agree what the pshat is, but the use of that phrase is to lidrosh, to expound, the cheshem she'ein machmitzin es hamatzos, kach ein machmitzin es hamitzos. So that's the source of the drosha. The source of the drosha is the fact that the Torah didn't just say tishmeru mechometz, but told us to prevent items coming chometz from ushamartem es hamatzos, which is a little more of an involved phrase. Okay. That's the way it is. Now, the Yim Tomar, and if you will ask me, says the Maharal, Ma Yinyin Zelo Zeh, Shetora HaMitzvah B'Matzah. What's going on here? All of a sudden you're telling me in the same way as you don't let the matzahs get chomets, so you don't let the mitzvahs get chomets. Or you don't do mitzvahs on Pesach because they're chomets. Well, what's going on here? The Talmud, the Shayach B'Matzah, no Shayach B'Mitzvah. You're not allowed to be machmitz the dough, because it's going to become chomet. What's that got to do with an ethical exhortation not to delay in performing a mitzvah? What's it got to do with this? That's a separate exhortation. Zehirus. Be zealous. Be enthusiastic in the performance of a mitzvah. Don't delay. What's that got to do with the Shemartim and Samatzos? Don't let the dough become chomet. Umikol Shekein, and I got a bigger kasha. Shedavartema. It is puzzling. Shirashi Havi Medrish there, Poch Perusho, that Rashi brings such a comment in the middle of his Perush. Vuhurachot miyod nipshuto, and it is something which is so far from the pet. So why does he bring it? The answer is, yere, it would appear, therefore, devadai tam echod lishnehem. We are forced to conclude that there is a bond, a connection, a unifying theme between the prohibition against allowing the dough to rise on Pesach and the prohibition against leaving a mitzvah unperformed for a few seconds. One reason common to both. Why? Ki os roha Torah hechometz. The Torah forbade us to have chometz in our possession. Right? And also told us in this pasuk that we've got to be careful not to allow dough to become chometz. Fine. In other words, it's not sufficient to say, no harm in letting it become chometz, because if it becomes chometz, I can get rid of it. Tashbisu. No, you're not even allowed to allow the dough to become chometz. Why? Sha'arei lo hispik lahachmitz. Everybody knows why. This week's parsha. Because they went out so quickly that the dough didn't have time to rise. Why did they go out to Chipozol? What is the theme of Chipozol in Mitzrayim? The Indians there, oh yeah, you know why they went out to Chipozol? Mipnei Niglo Melech Malchei Hamalacha Makodesh Poruchu Velo Hispik Isasom Lahachbitz Umeyacha Sheniglo Alei Melech Malchei Hamalacha Ein Kan Ikuf Ki Maasov V'mehirus V'koach Kodol Ad She'ein Kan Ikuf. If you want to know, says the Maharal, why we don't allow chometz on Pesach and why we have to have matzah, it is because we went out b'chipozol. B'chipozol means we went out in haste. Why is chipozol such a distinct feature of our redemption from Egypt? The answer, says the Maharal, is as follows. Because in Yitzias Mitzrayim it is an evil of Aruch, an evil of Sodom, an evil of Shariach, an evil of Achir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chavodo u'v'yatzmo ve'ovarti b'yeretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above space and above time. Because space and time are inventions for Olam Hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not eternal, meaning he lives forever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes from a world which, in which there is no concept of space and time. Bereishis is the creation of time for this world, as the Sephora says. So therefore, how do we acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chavodu u'v'yatzma was involved in Geula for Mitzrayim? With the inyan of Chipozon, as if to say, the Geula took place in a moment which was not part of time. That's why Chipozon is so central. And that's what he says. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved, there is no delay. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not bound by time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes from beyond time. Now, V'ho'inyen ha'sichliyim pu'ulatam shalai b'zman. And you should know that likewise, everything which is spiritual is also not bound by time. Because matters which are spiritual are not dependent on a body and its movement, which is dependent on time. Spiritual matters come from a world which is beyond space and time. Ulefi madregas hashivusom ke'ulasom belitzma. And because they come from that place, because of their chashivus, they are also beyond time. Follow. Velokach, therefore, tzivo, there is a commandment, she'ein machmitzim es hamatzah. That is the reason why you're not allowed to allow the matzah to become leaven. Lehodiah, in order to inform us, ki pe'ulas Hashem yisborach beliz man klal. In order to remind us that what took place in an instant, because the Geula came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is beyond time. Mitzvahs come from the same world. Mitzvahs come from the same spiritual atmosphere That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. V'yach mitzvos Elohim. Even the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehi Devar Hashem, which is the word of God, Havoli Yodacho Al Tach Mitzvah.
Why? Because mitzvos, by their very nature, emanate from God, who is beyond space and time. If you delay in performing a mitzvah, you allow the mitzvah to come down, and compared to what it was when it first came down, an echo of eternity, you have allowed it to slip into this world and stay in a world of space and time until you and your good graces get around to performing it. So you change it from something eternal into something temporal. It started out as a mitzvah which comes from the most celestial heights, and it became tarnished with space and time. It became like a book, like a wall, like a window, when in reality it comes from a world which is far removed from the mundane. It comes from the world of spirituality, and in the words of the Maharal, V'hoyinyonim hasichliim pu'ulosam shalei bizman. Lo kamo devorim shel chol. Mitzvah is not like a secular item, shehem deshomim, which are material, shehem tachas hazman yisunim, which are part of a world of space and time. Avoleinu devorim, but the mitzvos einam. And in the words of the Maharal, V'hoyinyonim hasichliim pu'ulosam shalei bizman. Lo kamo devorim shel chol. Mitzvah is not like a secular item, shehem deshomim, which are material, shehachas hazman nisunim, which are part of a world of space and time. Avoleinu devorim, but the mitzvos einam tachas hazman. They are not included in the world of time. V'tzorech la'asot so som miyad. V'zeh das chachomim kasher tzedaktik bohem. V'im hu mach mitzvah ha-mitzvah, so that if you delay in performing the mitzvah, pogeim es ha-mitzvah. You sully the mitzvah. Ki ilu hoyasod dovor shehu tachas hazman. As if the mitzvah originated in a world of space and time. Umizeh tovin. And from this you can understand. Ki ma shein machbitzin es ha-matzah v'yes ha-mitzvah inyan echod. That is why they share the same theme. The reason why you cannot be machmitz the matzah is because the geula came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is beyond time. And it is precisely for that reason that you cannot be machmitz a mitzvah, because a mitzvah comes from the same place, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chvodu v'yatzmo. She'ein shom inyan zman ve'elu devorim. V'elu devorim heim devorim v'rurim miyod le'meivin. Ve'erachti v'zeh v'sefer gevurah sashem. This is a masterpiece. It's nothing to do with zehirus. That when a mitzvah comes to your hand, have you zehirim, be zealous. Says the Maharal, there is a different theme. Chometz on Pesach is abhorrent. A mitzvah which you allow to remain unfulfilled, unperformed, in a world of space and time, when it came from a world of eternity, has the same status in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Chometz has on Pesach. It's a different chefza, as they say in the Lithuanian world. It's a different item altogether. Chometz and Matzah, they are antithetical. So it is with the mitzvah which is performed immediately, and the mitzvah which has to wait on our good graces to perform it. Something very well worth thinking about. Okay. What I want to move on to now, I want to come back, if we have time, Mr. Shem, to something else, is the Ramban, who raises the very famous question of why Bnei Yisrael are said to have remained in Mitzrayim for 430 years, as it says in Perek Yud Beis, Vos of Mem, whereas in Lech Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said to Avraham Avinu, Arba Me'os Shana, only 400. And here I've xeroxed the Ramban, because it's taken from the midst of a very, very lengthy comment, and we will see it is a most satisfying resolution. Yes. Again, the question, why is it here, Umoshav v'nei Yisrael asher yoshu b'mitzrayim, shaloshim shonah v'yarba meyoshonah, whereas in regards to the Perek in Lech Lecha, where the Golos is decreed, the number which is mentioned is 400. Says the Ramban, after bringing a number of
interpretations which are offered by other Rishonim, etc. The Ode Ani Omer. I say further, Ki ha-pshat ha-mechuvah min ha-kol hu, that the most acceptable pshat to me is the following. Shenema. Ki ha-gezeira ha-yeso arba meyos shalom min ha-yom ahu kasher iskarnu. That you are perfectly right. The period of 400 years began from that day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Avraham Avinu. Vispin ha-besorim. V'ha-shaloshim shalom ha-elu heim tosefes aleihem. And the 30 years represent an additional period in Golos. Ba'avon hador ha'hu. Because apart from the 400 which had originally been decreed, the B'nai Yisrael, by virtue of their averos, were found to be deserving of another 30 years. And I say to you like this, says the Rambam. Ki im nigzar al ha'odom b'cheto Golos v'inui shona u'shonosayim. An example. If Golos and persecution is decreed on an individual by Hashem to last a year or 2 years. V'hu yosif al chatoso pesha bohem. And he will, even during that period of a year or two, he will continue to sin. Itach yosifu alav shevo al chatosov. The Golos v'yisurim kohena v'kohena. Why? She'ein oncho horishon haftocho lo shelo yeyonesh bi'avon she'yaseh. Because the decree of a year or two which was made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no guarantee that that's all you'll have to suffer. That's all you'll have to suffer as a result of what I'm giving you the persecution for. But if you will sin more, there's no guarantee that that year or two will be everything. Vihine, therefore I say to you the same. Hoyo al Avraham avinu gezeiro shiyihye zaro geh beheret shlo lohem arba meyo shana v'shalo yoshuvu heino ado revi kilo shalem avonu amori. You should know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, your descendants will be 400 years in a land which is not theirs, and the fourth generation will come back. You should know a few things, says the Ramban. All it said was, and then now, acharei can mean either miyad, either immediately after the conclusion of the 400 years, or it can mean long after. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu retained the option. The Gam Hu Al Tanai. And furthermore, their release from slavery was also one condition. Because it says, the Gam is a goy asher yavodu don anochi. First I have to judge the nation who oppressed them. And then we have the chen yisub rechush kodol. She yamid badin es a goy yimosu koroi li yisur lefim ha'asem ulefi anigdar aleihem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take these people to judgment, as we mentioned last week through the Maskele David, to find out what their motivation was in enslaving the Jewish people. So you should know that it's conditional. And furthermore, She'ein shum habtocha shelo yigrom hachet levatlo ele b'mokum shvur. And you should know that since we do not find in connection with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu and Brit Min HaBesorim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a shavua, then we would have had a kasha. But when there was a statement made without a Shavua, then we can only infer from that 400 is a minimum, not a maximum. Because circumstances may alter the situation. So therefore, you have to know, Umin hayodua, shayu Yisrael b'mitzrayim roim v'chatoim miyod. The Jewish people in Egypt were bad people, sinners. Ubitlu gam hamilo, annulled the Bris Milah, Dichsiv, and the Pasuk says it quite clearly, Vayamru bi, they rebelled against me, Velo Ovu Lishmo Eilai, they didn't want to listen to me, Ish Es Shekutzei Einehem Lo Hishlichu, they didn't throw away the despicable things, V'Eskelulei Mitzrayim Lo Ozmu, and they didn't forsake the idols of Egypt, V'Omar, and I said, Lishpoch HaMosi Aleihem B'Toch Eretz Mitzrayim, that I was going to pour out my anger on them in the land of Egypt. So you see, when they were in Eretz Mitzrayim, there were other situations which arose, as a result of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt it appropriate to visit even more years of Golos and Avdus and Inui on Bnei Yisroel. Uchesiv, and another pasuk reads, V'hostiru es Elohim asher avdu avoseichem b'yevor anor uv'mitzrayim. Remove those gods whom your ancestors worshipped on the other side of the river and in Egypt. V'evdu es Hashem. And serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead. So you see that there is a reference again to idolatrous worship in Mitzrayim. V'yalkein orach golusom shaloshim shona. And indeed, for that reason, the Golus went on another 30 years. And I have to tell you, says the Ramban, the emissaries, for what they did in Mitzrayim, they should have been there much longer than even the extra 30 years. Hello, what? They were allowed to get off with 30 years only by virtue of the fact that they cried and prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of their misery. And that's what the Pasuk means in Parshas Shmos. And then had it not been for that fact, we would have been even longer in Mitzrayim than 430 years. Because they were not entitled to go out at the end of 400 years. But all that happened was, at the end of that extra 30 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu relented as a result of their tefillos. Says the Ramban, why is it so difficult for the other rabbis to explain as I did? That what? That there were 400 years originally decreed, but circumstances intervened and they caused a further 30 years. Why should that be such a difficult solution as far as the other rabbis are concerned? Since we know, says the Ramban, and we look at it in a moment, that originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'dor Revi Yashuvo Hena, the fourth generation is going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. But we know that as a result of the sending of the spies, another generation died out, and it wasn't the fourth generation, it was the fifth generation. So why do they not have a problem with the Meraglim and the fact that it took us an extra 40 years to get to Mitzrayim? I suggest exactly the same thesis resolves the problem of 400 and 430. They were also years of suffering. The pasuk says, they were in a land which would certainly didn't belong to them. It belongs to snakes and scorpions. And they did not see even the fulfillment of the Dor Revi shall return. Because a new generation emerged during those 40 years. That's the solution, says the Ramban. Sin was the cause of the extra 30 years in Mitzrayim, just as sin was the cause of the extra 40 years in the wilderness. So therefore, now he concludes and says the following. We know that the Bnei Ephraim tried to leave Mitzrayim before the time, and they were massacred to a man. And as the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, that these are in fact the bones that Ezekiel saw in his vision. Says the Ramban, when we say that the Bnei Ephraim made a mistake, you should understand what a mistake they made. They were under the impression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said to Avraham Avinu 400 years, and at the end of the 400 years they would go free. They didn't understand that the 400 was in fact a minimum, and that if circumstances would intervene, they would go out even much later. Therefore, they made a good cheshbon, but they made a cheshbon based exclusively on the Brisbane Abesorim and didn't include the possibility that they might have to stay longer as a result of their non-observance, as a result of their idolatrous worship in Mitzrayim. That's what the Ramban says. The truth of the matter is, they did count correctly. They counted the 400 years from the Brisbane Abesorim, and they made no mistake. Oh, but unfortunately, it was the Averos which brought about the extra 30 years that they didn't anticipate and include. And we are who are in this long galus, I hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't keep adding on. But that's what he means. והקדוש ברוך הוא ימחל לנו על כל חטא ושקיעה. To conclude this evening, I wanted to draw your attention to a most fascinating thesis which is propounded by Rav Yitzchok Huttner Zatzal in Pachad Yitzchok. And it is an observation which he makes in regard to two interesting Rashis. Let us therefore look in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Memches. V'chol orel lo yochal bo. Big chidush. No uncircumcised male may eat of the korban Pesach. Rashi. Lehavi es shemesu echov machmas nila. This particular statement comes to tell you that even a person who has not been circumcised because the family are concerned that his life may be in danger because previous members of the family died as a result of bris mila, even that person may not eat of the korban Pesach. Says Rashi, why do I not explain v'chol orei lo yochal bo to mean a person who deliberately doesn't mal himself? I mean, that would seem to be the most obvious case. Why am I stretching it even to include a person who has not mauled himself because of what we call pikuach nevesh? You know why, says Rashi? She'eino mumer li'arelus. Because if he deliberately did not maul himself, he would be a mumer li'arelus. He would be a person who brazenly rejects the mitzvah. Ve'eino nilmad mi'benecho li'yochal bo. A person who is deliberately, brazenly abandoning the mitzvah of milah, he is included in another prohibition, kol ben nechor lo yochal bo. And a nechor, as the Chazal explain, is a person who has taken himself away from the entire Torah. Shenisnakru ma'asol li'avinu shebashamayim. So, Rashi's reasoning is as follows. A person who deliberately, brazenly abandons mitzvahs milah, the prohibition against that person partaking of the Korban Pesach is learned from the pasuk kol ben nechor lo yochal bo. Therefore, what are we left with in regards to v'chol orei lo yochal bo? It cannot be referring to a person who brazenly abandons milah. It must be referring to a person who cannot perform milah for the best of reasons, and still the Torah says he cannot eat of it. Now, we have a klal. We have a general principle in Chazal, in Talmud, in the writings of Chazal. A person who is a mumor ledovar echod, a person who brazenly abandons one mitzvah, is not called a mumor lechol haTorah kula. Is not called a mumor in regard to the entire Torah. He's known as a mumor ledovar echod. Therefore, the Mizrahi asks on Rashi, how can Rashi say that the reason why this pasuk v'chol orei lo yochal bo must be talking about a person who has not mauled himself for the best of reasons, because if he brazenly abandoned milah, he would be included in kol ben nechor? Kol ben nechor, it describes a person who is a mumor lechol haTorah kula. And a person who only rejects milah is what we call a mumor ledovar echod. And a mumor ledovar echod is not a mumor lechol haTorah kula. And here there is a masterful reply by Rav Yitzchok Huttner in Ma'amar Kof Beis. Shemos Parshas Yud Beis Pasuk Memches Kol Orel Lo Yochal Bo. Upiresh Rashi, who is this Orel? Hainu Shemesu Echov Machmas Milo. It's a person whose brothers have died because of Milo. Te'ilav Hochi, because if we were speaking about a person who deliberately is not mauling himself, Have a Bichlal Mumor, he would therefore be under the heading of Mumor, who is a Ben Necho. And the Rabbi Yom Mizrahi asks on this, do we not have a principle in Shas, that merely by brazenly abandoning one mitzvah, you don't become a mumor to the entire Torah? Says the Pacha Yitzchok, I would like to explain Rashi's position as follows. Look into to Rashi's comments in the Gemara of Omasaf Memvov, the Alfinon Hosom, where the rabbis learn out from various psukim, the Gerus, that when a person wants to convert, we require Mila and Tevila. How do I know, says the Gemara? May Avoseinu, from our forefathers, Shemolu b'Mitzrayim, who circumcised themselves in Egypt, v'tovlu lifnei kabolas haTorah, and immersed themselves before receiving the Torah on Har Sinai. For Rabbi Eliezer Sevirelei, and Rabbi Eliezer indeed is of the opinion, to be Mila lechut sagi, that even Mila on its own for a male is sufficient. Mishum de lo yalef elami Mila de Mitzrayim, because he says we only take our cue from Mila which took place in Mitzrayim, and not the Tefillah which took place before Matan Torah. What we are concerned with at the moment is that we learn how a person becomes a ger, how a guy becomes a Jew, and as the Gemara says, the definitive, the normative view is Mila, Tevila, and Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. Now, Upidesh Rashi, and Rashi offers the following explanation on the words, Diyavoseinu Malu v'Mitzrayim. Our forefathers circumcised themselves in Mitzrayim. Says Rashi, Dahainu Bimei Moshe. That is, of course, in the days of Moshe, Kishayotsu Mitzrayim, when they left Egypt, and these are the words, V'yotzu Michalal b'nei Noach. And from that moment on, they left the ranks of non-Jews. Lekabel haTorah v'lekabel b'nei Hashem. That's all I want. Ordinary Gerus, which consists for males of Mila, Tevila, and Kabbalas Mitzvos, for females of Tevila and Kabbalas Mitzvos, it is a well-known halachic fact that until the entire three stages have been completed, the individual concerned is a goy, is a non-Jew. A person who presents himself for Gerus and goes through Mila is a goy. He goes through Tevila, is a goy. Kabbalas HaMitzvos, he's a Yid. Rashi, says Rav Hutner, is telling us that it was not so in the case of our forefathers who left Mitzrayim. When they mauled themselves in Mitzrayim, they became half-Jewish. Yotzu Michlal Bnei Noach. They are now half-Jewish. They've gone through half-Gerus, Gerus part one. But not Gerus part one like it is for us today, no. What they actually went through was legitimate. They are now halfway there. Nowadays, the corresponding situation will be, he's nowhere there. But when he mouths, he's halfway there. It's Gerus. Rashi is explaining to us in our Sidra, not what the halacha is, that a person who brazenly abandons a mitzvah is considered to be one who abandons the whole Torah. No! Rashi comes to tell us the pshat. And the pshat is pertaining to the time when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. All the mitzvos associated with Pesach were all part of what the Jewish people had to do in order to leave Mitzrayim. If you abandon Mila, you are abandoning the process of Gerus. And therefore, if you abandon the process of Gerus, because we know that in Gerus, if a Ger was to present himself and say to us, I'm willing to accept 612, but not the 613th, he's not a Ger, he's back a Goy. That's what Rashi means. The individual who insisted on leaving aside Mila in that situation as it pertained in Eretz Mitzrayim, he was included in Kol Ben Nechor because his half Gerus is no Gerus. Let us look inside. It's a masterpiece. Hare lefaneinu. Looking, we can see the Rashi dictate lefaresh. Rashi was particular to point out the lo tema. Do not say the Mila de Mitzrayim have a Mila l'shem Gerus de Shas Matan Torah. That the Mila was merely to be accepted as an anticipatory act for when we will eventually come to Har Sinai. And that it is similar to every mila which takes place in Gerus. Don't say, says Rav Yitzchok Kutner, explaining Rashi, that what happened in the milo in Mitzrayim is like the milo which happens when anybody comes nowadays to become a ger. It's not so. Ella did dictate the Faresh. On the contrary, Rashi was particular to point out the Yetzias Mitzrayim atzmo have a miktsas gerus, that the actual exodus was in itself a part of gerus. Shiatzu oz michlal b'neinok lekabel b'neishchina. Umilo de Mitzrayim michsiaches es hile miktsas gerus zu de geulas Mitzrayim. And therefore this milo is associated with that half of gerus which came about with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Umikivon shezochinu ledin, and therefore, since we have been zocher to see the ledas Rashi, that according to Rashi, etzem hayetzio mi Mitzrayim din geirus, that there is a din geirus on the actual yetzio, is memela hare kayim alon. Do we not have a very well known law? De ger sheomar bishas geiruso sheeinu mekabel alav afilu dover echad min haTorah ein mekabel lemos. Is it not well known that a person who presents himself and says, I'm willing to accept upon myself all the commandments of the Torah except one, we cannot have him? That is why Rashi is correct in saying in his Pesach to the Chumash, that a person who abandons Mila in those circumstances, where the Mila was to be one aspect of his Gerus, it's like the person who comes along and says, I'm willing to accept 612, but not 613. He's back again at Ben Necher. The Rashi koyle perushi kro anemar be Pesach Mitzrayim. Umi shahoyo mumerli areiris b'shas yetziah, bevadai de geiris u shal yetziahs b'tayim lo chala olav kach nirali, vahari hu b'chal ko Ben Necher l'yochab. Again, it's a very, very major klal. We have a most significant PS as well. The klal is that the geiris of the generation that went out from Mitzrayim was divided into parts. After Mila, they were Geirim of a sort. Afterwards, when there was Tevila and Kabbalas HaMitzvos, the Geirus was completed. But they are Geirim of a type immediately after the Mila. The Yetzias Mitzrayim is a form of Geirus. Therefore, to abandon any one single mitzvah associated with the Yetzias Mitzrayim of that generation is to give you the status that a person would enjoy nowadays if he were to say, I'm willing to accept upon myself 610, but not 613, meaning that the individual would not have had Gerus of any significance and of any quantity or quality whatsoever. The person would remain a Ben Nechor, Nochri. That, says Rav Hutner, is why Rashi says that a person who abandoned Milah brazenly, Bador Hahu, in that generation, he would be considered as called Ben Nechor. Nowadays, a person who brazenly refuses Milah is a Mumor Ledevar Echad. He's not a Mumor Lechalat. So this is a crucial theme here. And he goes on to say, which we're obviously not going to read out in full, let me just draw your attention to a further item which he says. Rashi, quoting Chazal, tells us that the Bnei Yisrael, who didn't want to go out from Mitzrayim, they died during Makas Choshech. Right? Now we usually interpret that to mean a punishment. You don't want to go out? All right, so stay. Permanently. No. Says Rav Hutner, not so. With what we have now gleaned, that the actual going out of Egypt is in itself a valid part of Gerus. It makes them Gerim of a type. What happened at Har Sinai? Says the Maharal, why is it, and he makes this observation in Parshas Vayigash, why is it that the Bnei Yisrael were complaining, as is recorded in Parshas Baal Osecha, that now that they receive the Torah, they're not able to marry all those people who were permitted to them as Bnei Noach? Right? So the Maharal says, do we not have a klal of Kol Gershon Isgayer, Kekotin Shenola Dami? As soon as you convert, all familial relationships fall away, you can marry your own sister, whatever. Says the Maharal, yes. That is only when gerus is conducted of your free will. The guy comes forward. I want to be a ger. But in Matan Torah, the gerus of that generation was kofa aleim harkegigis. He suspended the mountain over their heads. Either you accept the Torah or Sham Tehek Vuraskim, you'll be buried here. So gerus for the generation that came out from Mitzrayim and received the Torah is a gerus which was conducted alpi kof aleim harkegigis. You've got to do it whether you like it or not. If the beginning of that process was the Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying exactly the same as he said on HaSinai, in the Kablim Mutav, in love. Shomtek would ask him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Bnei Yisrael at the initial stage of their gerus, Sheyotzi Michlal Bnei Noach, either you leave Egypt, which is part of your gerus, or Shom Tehei Furasa. They did not die as a punishment. They died because the entire process of gerus, of which Yetzias Mitzrayim is the beginning and a legitimate part, and of which Kof Aleim HaKegigis is the final and concluding element, it is a gerus bal korch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not allowing us the opportunity of saying we want to opt out. Either you opt in, or that's it. And that was the option which was offered to those Bnei Yisrael who stood at Har Sinai to receive the final initiation. And that was the option which was offered to the Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim at the initial stage of their gerus. Im Yotzi'im, Mutov. Im Lav, Shom Tehei Furaskim. So, Devorim Nifloim.